Hello and welcome to the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben.
I'm Nick.
And it's been a scorcher, my friend. It's been kind of hot.
It's middle of the week.
Right.
Middle
of the week was pretty bad.
Today and yesterday.
Wednesday it cooled down a little bit.
Yeah, them storms.
Yeah.
Done did it.
Which is nice.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know. I did want to mention real quick, because this is something a lot of people are sharing around on Facebook. Check the seat buckles for your car seats. Before you put the little one in.
So you don't singe their legs?
So that can be nasty.
Yeah.
And there's even been a couple of times where people, like the kid was complaining, right? Crying right. Like they usually do, but the parents don't even realize that something's going on.
And it's because of the...
Yeah.
The hot car seat buckles.
Check them.
Real quick, let's talk about our sponsor.
Yeah.
For the week.
Yeah.
Which we're both rocking shirts from the Pop Life Shop.
Absolutely.
Continue, please.
thepoplife.com, the Pop Life, where you can get awesome dad-centric shirts and shirts for moms, too.
Yes.
Including your I Make Adorable Babies.
Because I do.
Because you do. You know.
My curse.
It's true.
My curse.
Yeah, you've been posting a lot of summertime stuff.
Yes.
That little round face.
Don't talk about my face.
Not yours.
Oh, my bad.
God. Always your bed.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, head over to thepoplife.com, check out their new summertime stuff, which they've got baseball season and football season stuff now. They got two shirts. They got Don't Bother Dad, Football is On, and Don't Bother Dad, Baseball is On. Those are pretty cool.
Those are good ones.
Yeah. Lots of good stuff over there. So go check it out, and much thanks to them for sponsoring our show.
And tell them we sent you.
Please. So that, you know, so that we look good.
Yes.
Just
on to the next order of business. We have a guest.
We do have
on
a guest.
The show today. We have Mr. John Kinnear from Ask Your Dad blog,
which sounds vaguely familiar. Ask Your Dad
sounds like Ask a Dad.
Oh, that's right. That thing that we do.
We may have taken it from. Yeah, we didn't take it from you.
We might have stolen it a little bit. Just a tiny little bit.
We stole it from anybody. It was from Life of Dad, damn it.
Right. So how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going good. How are you guys?
Splendid.
It's going well.
Yeah, you know, doing the thing. Toddlers, you know how it is.
Mine slept in until a nice late 6:45 this morning.
Oh, wow.
Mine actually did sleep in until like 8 o'clock, but they were also out until 10:30 last night.
So. That's true.
Oh, see, I try that sometimes. I'm like, we'll just keep them up as late as humanly possible. They still wake up early. They're just meaner.
Yeah.
We just started doing no naps during the day. It's been interesting. It's because she chose not to. So two days ago, I tried putting her down for a nap three times because she sat on the couch, started acting sleepy, put her to bed. And all of a sudden got this weird burst of energy. But she made it through all day for the past 2 days. And she slept great through the night. She slept till like 10 o'clock in the morning the next day. Yeah.
Yeah, but nap time for your
that nap is just, that's like your last piece of your day that belongs to just you. And after it's like, well, they'll be like 15 at some point and want to go play with a friend. Until then, I have my kids all day, every day, and I must attention to
that. Yeah, as far as recording my other show, I now have to do it at night outside in my car. Because the apartment's so small and my voice carries. Apparently I have a radio voice, according to my wife. I have a radio voice that I get into when I'm doing podcasting and it carries throughout the entire apartment.
So. You do. I mean, I don't know about your apartment, but I know that you do have a loud voice. I just talk
sometimes
the same at all times.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
you know,
that's good.
Barely audible. Nobody knows what I'm saying. It's cool. So let's talk about what you've been doing lately. You did have that kind of a big post. You know,
maybe some people
saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, your dear crappy parent post. Which, damn you in that swerve ending, John.
Right?
Yeah, don't spoilers. Come on, man.
Sorry, yeah. If you haven't read it like the rest of the internet has.
Look, it's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie, okay?
M. Night who?
M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
It's not Shyamalan. It's Shyman. I'm only saying that because somebody mispronounced it when I was when I was youth.
Okay.
But yeah, it takes a twist on you.
Totally unexpected twist, right?
I shared it on my pages, and someone was like, I had this whole thing written to bash this person, and then the ending happened.
Right, right. So was that something that, I know sometimes posts that I do, it takes like a day or two to really, like, flesh out, I kind of have to think about it, but then there's others where it's just, I sit down in a moment of inspiration and just bang it out. Is that what it was like?
I call it word vomit, and that was definitely more of a word vomit post. I was frustrated with myself, and that sat down and just got it all out at once. And I liked the post a lot. I think it turned out well, but I was not prepared for how it was going to connect with people. I guess a lot of people feel the same way, not just about how other parents behave, but how they behave and how they feel judged sometimes, I guess. And it's, I don't know, I think it's tough to take a snapshot out of someone's life and judge them by that, those 3 seconds. Yeah. I can think of at least, 1,000 seconds a week that I would prefer not to be judged by.
What it kind of, at least from the start, before I knew where you, figured out where you were going with it, what it reminded me of was that dear woman in the Target parking lot post. I don't know who wrote it, and it was just like similar, like, I see you, but what I don't see is this and this. Basically what you stole your post from is what I'm what I'm talking about.
where it all came from. Yeah, so where it really started from was I mean there's all these posts out there that are about, it's like the first half of my post about the second half. And I had a writing prompt for this post. It was try to take, like, some judgmental parent moments and flip them on their head.
Right.
And so it came from that writing prompt and just doing it that way. It's been kind of brought up at times that there's a lot of similar stuff out there. And I totally understand that. I mean, I think there's probably, 100 different parenting posts, and then we just all kind of rewrite them 1,000 times. And I think that's just because parenting is a very, very common experience. I think that's why writing about parenting is so popular, because we all kind of feel like we're in it together, and it can feel very lonely at times, because,
right,
it's you and another human being, and, a tiny human being with a vocabulary of, 400 words. So, it's nice to be able to log on and see that other people are going through the same thing as you.
Yeah, and it's great because, as far as parenting and writing about, experiences and stuff like that, a lot of people get really into the emotional side, or, let their emotions show in each post. And that really helps, that really helps everybody connect and realize that we're all, on the same page to a certain extent.
And speaking of a child with a 400-word vocabulary, that kind of gives me a challenge. Write a post using your child's vocabulary.
Wow.
It's probably a terrible idea.
That's impressive, though, if you can pull it off.
It is.
Maybe that'll be a challenge. Yeah.
I think that, I actually have a post about I made a little dictionary of my kids' toddler words that I'm going to miss.
Nice.
Wrote all those down. That was one of my more popular earlier posts, and now I have another 2-year-old, and I'm going to have to write a dictionary for him too, or he's going to grow and be like, why'd you care about what my sister said, and you don't really care about what I say.
Oh, man. So I was just poking around on the site, which, for everybody's knowledge, is askyourdadblog.com. And the latest one I saw on there was about the Marcy's Diner owner.
Oh,
I don't know
Marcy.
If you feel like talking about that anymore. But
that bitch is insane. That's all I have to say.
It's a little crazy, yeah.
I kind of feel like there's like this... I mean, there's obviously a divide in the comments, not necessarily on my article, but in the world of the internet about that thing.
Right.
I think people, are really ready to get mad about kids misbehaving in public, which I've heard is actually kind of just an American thing. Like, in other countries, they're just like, well, kids are kids.
Right.
But I think there's two types of people that have seen that. There's people who just read, like, the headlines. Not my post, but just the headlines about that whole situation.
Yeah.
And don't actually go and see what this Marcy lady, like, put on her Facebook page. I mean, the lady's kind of out there. And you know, she owns her own business. She's successful. Good for her. I think when you're a business owner, you have a vested interest in the satisfaction of all of your customers.
Right,
And you know, you don't just defend the kidless ones. If you have a parent who's having a kid with problems, try and make that a positive experience for them, and then they'll be loyal to your diner. I think that's what I talk about in the articles. We had a similar experience here in Salt Lake at a diner where my son was losing his shit. Oh, sorry, can I say shit?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
All right, well, I said it twice, so.
Shit, can I say shit? I mean, shit.
Damn it.
But he was losing it at a diner, and they took good care of us. And it was, you know, because any parent whose kid is throwing a fit in public is in one of their worst moments at that moment, right? Like, they feel like they're a bad parent, they feel like the kid's being a bad kid, and then they feel like the world is looking at them as the worst parent in the world. And I just can't even imagine what would happen if somebody just came up and started screaming at my kid in the middle of that feeling.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was. I think she could have handled it better. But hey, there are a lot of people out there, obviously, who disagree with me and who agree with her.
Yeah.
And that's fine, too. I just will not be going to Marcy's restaurant in Maine.
Right.
Yeah.
All the times that I end up in Maine.
Yeah, I mean, really, there's no need to go to Maine. It's...
Yeah. Plus, she's in Maine and she was wearing a Cleveland Indians hat. Like, what is that? I've seen that comment a lot, by the way. I've seen a lot of people whose main issue with her interview and stuff.
Yeah, but you're not allowed.
Wearing an Indians hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't say that because you wear a Seahawks and a Bills hat.
Hey, I don't have a Bills hat. I have a Seahawks hat
and a Bills jersey and an Eagles hat.
Whatever.
Pick a seat. Anyway.
You know, and I bet you she's got good friends and she has a nice life. And, you know, we'd probably get along just fine. I'd just rather play Cards Against Humanity with her than
right.
to a family picnic.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. I would rather she just, you know, bring my drinks. Yeah. I'll take care of the kid.
Four pancakes. I want four full-size pancakes.
Yeah. How dare you want three full-size pancakes for your kid? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know my child wasn't allowed to eat at a restaurant.
I want four whole fried chickens and a Coke. Yeah. Yeah, the thing that kind of weirded me out about it is... So I worked in the restaurant industry for a little while. And it was kind of an unspoken etiquette thing that when a kid is flipping out, just do what you can for the parents, you know, just make sure, you know, they have everything that they need and let the parents take care of the kid and they will, you know,
take
make the situation work,
you
know, so speaking up like that and yelling even just seems a little, I don't know.
Well, I mean, honestly,
but, you know, if you look at it, I mean, look at what we talked about earlier. We don't know what type of day Marcy was having.
That too.
Either. I mean, that's 30 seconds of her life. Granted, she chose to go on Facebook and go on a huge, you know, profanity-filled rant about how the kid was horrible and the parents were horrible and the dad didn't have balls and maybe she was having a bad day that day too. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, I like the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she's just a nice person who had a really rough week.
And now she has to, yeah. Unfortunately, now she's on a national stage that she has to...
But she hasn't backed down, so that tells me that she just, you know.
I don't know.
Over Trump.
Yeah, maybe Trump is just having a weird year.
Yeah. We're just all caught up in, like, the fallout from the Trumposphere. It just drips down on all of us, and we're all bigger assholes because of it.
I cannot believe that nothing he says is... I can't even talk on it. He's just insane.
There's really nothing to say. He says it all himself.
I have so much money.
Is that your Dr. Evil impression?
I don't know.
Okay.
I used to be able to do Trump, but now I can't. I'm just an idiot.
So, it's summertime. Summertime is usually a time for, you know, going out, doing things. You guys got anything going on? Doing any vacations or anything?
You know, we are saving up for kind of a big family vacation next year, so we decided to just kind of poke around town. There's a lot to do in Salt Lake in the summer. I mean, we're right next to the mountains, so even when it's, you know, 100 degrees in the valley, we can drive 15 minutes up in the mountains and it's 80 degrees. We're actually going to take the kids climbing. We've got a friend with a top rope set, and climbing is I use that term loosely. It's more that we put them on the end of a rope and they dangle
right
3 feet above the ground.
You're hanging your kids?
Wow.
But other than that, you know, we just do what other parents do, jump through sprinklers and, you know, and yeah, it's a good time in the summer here. I grew up here. We moved here when I was five, and so it's kind of fun to see my kids go to the same parks that I used to play at when I was their age.
Yeah, that's neat.
Never been to Utah.
Me neither.
You should come down.
Flew over it, but
I've been near it. I've been in Colorado and Wyoming.
Yeah,
they're close, right? My geography is all skewed right now. I don't have a map.
It's kind of like Colorado with less beer and less fires.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, less fires is nice.
Less weed? Yeah. Probably less weed than Colorado.
Yeah. Oh, man. We went out to Denver earlier this year, and some buddies of mine went for a walk on 16th Street. I didn't know you could, like, hotbox an entire block. It was interesting. Hey. I'm fine with it. You know, whatever guys want to do. I went to college too, right? But it's like the party's got to end someday, right? Well, not on 16th Street. Denver.
Maybe Denver will just become the college capital. You know, we'll just move all the colleges to Denver.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
It does sound like a terrible idea, but then you know,
the education system would go to even more shit.
Yeah.
Than it's at now. Could I have some more tuition money? You just want weed? Yes.
Hey, maybe you can reward good grades with, you know,
a weed card?
Bags of weed or something. Yeah. So here, instead of grading this particular class by A's, B's, C's, we're just gonna, you know, we'll start at an ounce. You know, work your way up.
You get a dime bag if you get a C.
Oh, that's terrible.
Sorry. I don't know anything about marijuana. I'm kidding.
I noticed.
Go to 16th Street in Denver. You'll be next.
Right. You'll get a quick education.
Yeah. So you were quoted on CNN, right?
I was.
Yeah.
You fatty.
My big break into mainstream media was talking about how fat I was.
I just love that it was you and it was Adrian Culp. Like, that's just
right.
It's just perfect.
And we're not even that fat. We're like,
I know.
Fat. Like, on a scale of like fat to really fat, we're like we fat. Like we're just somewhere in the nice puffy middle.
Right.
Pleasantly plump is, I believe, how it's phrased.
And oh my god, of all the stuff that I've written that people have read and commented on and maybe sometimes got a little up in arms about, talk about the fact that being a dad makes you gain a little more weight. That really brings the haters out of the woodwork.
Oh,
I got some angry comments on that.
Let me guess, lots of people talking about, well, you know, a woman's body after pregnancy and all that jazz.
No, it was more just like, quit making excuses, you fat, lazy slob. Cheeseburger down and go play with your kids. Like, I was like, all right, man. I'd be mad at this if I wasn't currently eating a cheeseburger.
Eating the cheeseburger and playing with your kids, one doesn't exclude you from doing the other thing.
Right.
I can eat this cheeseburger while I play with my kids.
Exactly. That's why I picked the cheeseburger and not scalding hot soup, you know?
Right.
So how did that that story come about? Like, how'd you connect with the reporter, etc.?
She reached out to me on Twitter and then by Facebook, because I forgot to check Twitter.
Nice.
And I was just like, hey, I see you're a popular dad blogger. And when people say that usually means that they looked for dad blogger on Google.
Right.
Because I show up like number one or number two for daddy blogger or dad blogger on Google. Don't go check now because I probably won't. But I usually do because my main profession is SEO, so I cheat.
Right. Curse you.
But, You know, it's funny. I was at Dad 201 one year, and Jim Lin. You guys know Jim, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Catch him. Great guy. Great dad blog. He was up giving a presentation on SEO, and he's talking about you know, how he ranks number one for dad blogger, and because guy is smart, like way smarter than I'll ever be. But he's got it up on the prompter, and he searches for dad blogger to show everybody. And I was in the room, and he popped up number two, and I was number one above.
Did the whole room just go, ooh?
It was something like that. It was, yeah, it was like the dorkiest SmackDown ever in the world. And then Jim was like, yeah, but I'm Jim Lin. And I was like, you win, man.
You just throw your hands up in the air and booyah!
That's when you walk up, take the mic, it drops,
just
it,
drop
take
it
his mic,
feet.
Drop it, and walk out.
Oh, man.
But SEO... I did it years ago. It is so boring. Like I did SEO writing for Yellow Book websites, like small business websites that Yellow Book would sell to like contractors and crap. And it was like that was my intro into SEO, and I'm like, this is
like they gave you like five keywords, and they're like, hey. You need to work this into these six paragraphs at least 14 times.
Yeah, and it was when it was, like, real into, like, keyword density and all that stuff. And then even after that, I was doing, like, freelancing, just writing, like, SEO, like, blog posts and articles for, like, clients of my friends. Like, my friends had clients that had sent them to me to write. And I'm like, I can't write another word about leasing giant tankers. They're like, can you write this article? I'm like, I don't even know what it's about. I'll just put in random keywords.
I'm losing it, yeah.
Yeah. So, God bless you for doing that for a career. I could not.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I don't do SEO copywriting anymore. We've got people that do that. You know, you start out in SEO and you're doing, like, scalable link building and... I'm going to make this the most boring 2 minutes of the podcast right now.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah.
So you guys could skip ahead.
Preach, my friend.
But you start out doing that stuff, and, you know, it's a lot of grunt work. And eventually you get up into, like, doing more dynamic, you know, strategic content generation. That's going to be on my tombstone, by the way. So dynamic strategic content generator.
Nice.
And number one in Google for dad blogger.
We will make sure that it is included in the obituary in the paper.
With, of course, underneath that, fuck you, Jim Lin. Because that's what you say to Jim Lin.
So, from that perspective... that you have on SEO and everything. How do you feel about the social media stuff as far as, like, growing into certain areas beyond Twitter? Like, doing Twitter parties and, like, linking all of your social media stuff to one site, you know, Instagram, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, bloggers ask me all the time, like, how much SEO they should do for their blog, and I'm like, well, if you review products or you do recipes or, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can do. But if you're writing poignant stories about being a dad,
right.
Very few people go to Google to look for poignant stories about being a dad. That's just not the source for that type of material for people.
Right.
Like when you want to find, you know, funny anecdotes or touching stories, you go to social media. You go to Facebook or you go to Twitter. Most people go to Facebook. A lot of people go to Pinterest, Instagram. So I'm like, you know, you can invest a ton of time writing crappy SEO copy for your website, or you could, you know, work really hard to grow communities on your social platforms and use those for distribution. And that's what I do. I mean, yeah, I've got the basics of SEO on the site. You know, I have my title tags filled out to make sure I have, you know, a well thought out title, and I have my meta tags. Google meta tags. If you're listening to this and don't know what those are, I'm not going to explain it. but other than that, I don't worry too much about it because I try to just grow my social platforms. Just because I like those communities because I get to know the people who are reading what I write, and you know it's fun to get feedback and talk to people. And you know, I've got people who I've been writing now for, I don't know, 3 years, 4 years, somewhere in there, who've been there since the beginning.
Nice.
And, like, I've gotten to know them, I've gotten to know their families, they've gotten to know mine. And so it's really cool. I like, you know, even though people are saying you're building your camp in someone else's area, you know, like if Facebook shut down tomorrow, you'd lose your Facebook page. Yeah, but something's going to replace Facebook and we start over. That's just how.
Yeah,
right. So everybody moves over to Elo.
Yeah. So aside from, like, you know, with your posts that have done, you know, really well, how did you go about building, you know, your social communities? You know, what, because you have you've got a pretty good following on Facebook and Twitter, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what did you do just to kind of build yours?
So to build them up? Well, I mean, there's a few things that I try to post on a fairly regular basis, but I don't post every day. Like, I try to post once a week if I can on the blog. And then I just make sure that it looks good when I put it on Facebook. So I put an image that's properly sized for Facebook, and I put, like, an open graph description.
Right.
So, and that usually has a call to action. All of my blog posts, you know, I have links to my social in the sidebar and the header. But I also, at the end of my blog post, I'll put a customized call to action at the end of it.
Okay.
That just says, you know, hey, if you like this, you're probably going to like what's going on over on the Ask Your Dad Facebook page. We have a lot of fun. We, you know, joke around, follow this link, or click here, you know. And I find that that helps a lot. Sometimes I'll do it with Twitter, sometimes I'll do it with Facebook. Just kind of depends on what type of post it is. And then, you know, they're not all my posts aren't gold, obviously, some of them bomb. But the ones that do well on my site, I tend to then push out to syndication with sites like Huffington Post or Mamma Mia or what's the other one that I don't know. There's the Lifetime Moms is a great one, and then I obviously don't get paid for those ones, right? Like, those are just kind of syndication sites,
right?
And so what you do is you make sure that you have internal links in those posts that make sense. You know, you're not just trying to stuff links into a post, but like, if you mention one of your earlier posts or your social media and those link to them. And then I always put a call to action at the end of the ones I put on my HuffPost. I'll say, you know, you can find John trying to be funny on Facebook. Something like that at the end. And you try to customize it. If it's boilerplate, people learn to scan over that stuff. So just try to make it fun and customizable, and then people find their way to your social.
Nice.
And then once you have a social page, you gotta pay attention to it.
Right.
Hey. You know, I don't have the science on this, but I know that I manage some pages for different companies that have like 60,000, 70,000 likes on them and get less than 1% engagement on Facebook. And the best thing to do on Facebook is, I think once somebody likes your page, there's like a window that Facebook gives them to determine whether they like what the page is posting or just, you know, the page itself. I mean, I think the best example is Coke. Like, a lot of people like the Coca-Cola page.
Yeah.
But they click they like Coke, right? Because they like to have a Coca-Cola once in a while. It's not like they really give a crap what the graphic designers at Coca-Cola think is cute.
Right. Yeah.
So Facebook is trying to determine between those two things. And so when I, you know, start to get new followers, I try to post regular funny, you know, content on my page that people are going to interact with. Because the quicker they interact with after liking it and continue interacting, the bit higher chance they're going to have of seeing something, you know, a link to my site that I post on my Facebook page.
Right. So it seems like, as far as the, you know, as far as the personal blog is concerned, it sounds like the best thing to do is not think of it as, you know, so the blog is an outlet for several different things. You also have to, you know, through the call to action and through the, you know, making sure you have all your links and all that, you're making it one big platform for a constant stream of content that is essentially the same, you know. So mm-hmm. it's like you're linking all of your content together, almost like it's a, instead of most people who think of blogs as just okay, this person just pops in every once in a while to write something, which is nice. Instead of that, it's, you know, it's like a continuing story, and it's all interconnected. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it like my site, the blog itself, is the hub, and then all of my social media channels are the spokes, and they kind of have to function together to work, right? It's not, you know, I try to push people back to the blog when I can, but some of them operate independently. But yeah, the blog is always going to be the central part of it.
You just came up with an awesome analogy. I'm so glad it happened here.
The hub and the spokes.
Nice. Yep. To
be fair, I've probably heard that somewhere at some point.
Probably from Jim Lynn. Yeah.
Whatever shit I just stole. I'm giving you credit. It was you that said it.
So I got one more social media question.
Sure.
Yeah, especially from your standpoint, both in SEO and as a parent. So how are you feeling about the future of your kid being on Twitter, Facebook, that whole thing?
You mean me writing about him or them actually having...
Them actually being on it.
Oh, I'm terrified.
Yeah.
I'm
so terrified. It seems like most of us are terrified of it because of the horrible things that we've seen happen, you know?
Here's the thing. So I'm kind of a pack rat sometimes, and only about sentimental stuff, but in junior high we used to write notes back and forth.
Right.
Like, if you had a girl you were into, she'd write you a note, and you'd write her back a note, and then she'd fold it up to look like a turtle or something, and you'd be like, I don't know how she did this, but I'm gonna write her back. But I have a bunch of those notes in a shoebox in the garage.
Yeah.
And every few years I'll pull them out and read them, and I'll just think to myself, thank God I didn't put this shit on Facebook.
Right.
Like, thank God I didn't tweet this stuff. Or, you know, like it lives in a shoebox in my garage that, you know, if the house ever burned down, I'd be like, well, at least something good came out of that. Those were
right.
but our kids' words are just going to be there forever. You know, and it's obviously two different situations, right? We had an assumption of privacy when we wrote those notes, and I think that privacy is kind of a thing that's just going away, whether we want it to or not, however hard we fight against it.
Right.
Yeah, and our kids are going to grow up in a world where they know that everything they put out there is on a billboard. But they're also kids, and they're going to think that everything they say is right all the time. And so they're like, oh, everyone's going to see this, but who cares because I'm right. And then 20 years from now, they're like, I was not right.
Yeah, it seems like the internet has given us this weird, I don't know, sense that everybody is correct in the way that they think to a certain extent.
You
like, everybody has the right to say what they want to say and think that they are, you know...
Uh-huh.
That they are correct for saying so because they're saying it on the internet.
Well, and you can find that, you can, no matter what you're on the internet, you can find a bunch of people to agree with you. That's the great part about being a blogger, right?
Right.
Found that on the internet. Has to be true.
Found that.
Yeah. Like, I had someone quote me as a parenting expert at one point. I'm like, where did you get that idea? I have zero credentials.
I love that phrase.
I've had two humans alive for about... you know, 5 years and 3 years each. Like, I don't even know how bad I've screwed them up yet. I'm going to find out eventually.
I honestly don't know what I'm doing at all.
Yeah.
Just kind of winging it here, guys.
Like, I mean, parenting expert is one thing. I almost feel uncomfortable being called just, like, a parent. I'm still working to earn the title. I get that, like, I got it right when it came out, but, like...
Yeah, some days... Some days it just feels like I'm hanging out with my kid more
yeah,
than
exactly.
actually
you're,
being...
You're like
being
waiting for the real parents to get home. You're like, yeah, we can order pizza and ice cream. They'll do it today.
Oh, man.
But it is that where you're just hanging out.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, what are you doing? I'm just sitting on the floor playing with some Legos or letting my kid play Barbies with me.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just... playing.
Yeah, we're just hanging out. I like to take time every once in a while, you know, like I'll clean the kitchen, clean the bathroom, straighten up the bedroom, but you know, I gotta get down on the floor and color.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes you have to adult, but most times you're just acting like a kid.
Right.
When you're home playing
with
your kid.
We're just grown up kids. That's what
yeah.
Grown up kids.
You're playing with your
kids.
Then, you know, then they're like, hey, let's stick this fork in this outlet. And you're like, no, I
do that. That's it. Parenting just comes in spurts. Yeah.
Have you had to avoid the fork in the outlet already?
No, not the fork, but I did have a kid who wanted to lick the electrical outlet, which probably would be worse than the fork, actually.
Yeah,
that was one of my first, like, I can't believe I'm having to say this type of moments.
Right.
Don't lick the electrical outlet. I mean, and to be fair, it had the little plastic, you know, safety plug thing in it.
Yeah.
But I the package didn't say this protects against your kid licking it.
Like, right, yeah.
It should definitely say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should just cover every circumstance that that little piece of plastic protects against.
And my daughter went through a whole phase of affection for things. So just she'll just kiss everything. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, look, a wall. Kiss it. Oh, look, my chair. Kiss it. You know. So we definitely got
to
keep those
covers. Have your kids ever run up to, like, a complete stranger? Like, in a grocery store, like a random cashier or someone working at the grocery store, just run up and hug them as you're walking out of the store?
Oh, well, kind of, yeah. And I like to watch this happen sometimes because I give my kids, you know, a 10-foot berth to let them wander around. Not necessarily in the stores, but, like, if we're at a park or something, you know, I don't want to just keep them, like, within grabbing distance at all times. But they're so low to the ground, and I don't know if you know this, but Utah is full of chubby white guys with beards. Like, it's just kind of our thing here. And I happen to be a chubby white guy with a beard, so I'll watch my kids, like, walk up and, like, take some dude's hand that they have no idea, thinking it's me. And then the guy looks down at them, and I get to watch the look on their face, and they realize it's not me.
That's awesome.
And then, at first, I'm like, I'm over here. You know, I don't let them think that, like, their dad has turned into some weird person.
Right.
Know.
Right.
That's great. We, the other night, I think two nights ago, we're leaving the grocery store. And, you know, a cashier is, like, standing up by, like, the customer service area. And it's like, oh, you two are so cute. And then my oldest just runs over and gives her a hug. I'm like, what the? And then the younger one follows suit. I was like, what is happening? You'd never do this. Now you're just hugging random cashiers and Giant. What is going on?
That's crazy.
Like, you know, there's the whole stranger thing, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm standing right behind you. It's not a big deal.
It's a tiny bit of stranger danger, but I'm not afraid to, you know, get at anybody if I think they're going to endanger my kid.
Right, like Marcy.
Right, yeah.
Bringing it back around. Yeah, there exactly.
She needs to call Charlie Brown and get a check on that. Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, it's not the weird people out there that scare me as much as the people who think they're awesome parents at the playground.
Right. Yeah.
The ones who offer advice. No, all right. It's cool.
Those are the people I just want to punch in the face. you let your kid do this? Well, this is why we don't let ours do that. Oh, I didn't ask for your opinion.
I mean, there have been days where I figured something out. And I succeeded at something.
Yeah.
And I want to tell people. Like, yeah. We'll go to the grocery store, and I see a fellow dad who's just kind of hanging out looking at books at Costco. And I'm like, hey, man, I did this awesome thing. You want to talk about it? Yeah. But well, you have to have restraint. You know, you have to have restraint.
Yeah, well, exactly. And to be totally fair, I don't think there's judgmental parents and non-judgmental parents. I think there's judgmental parents who keep that to themselves and then lay in bed with their spouses in the evening and talk shit about everyone they know and kids. And then there's parents who do it in the open at parks. And, you know, I'm okay. If you want to go home and lay down and talk about what a shitty dad I am, that's fine. Do it. I do it. You do it. Everybody does it. Just don't walk up to me at the park and be like, hey, you know, you should probably reapply sunscreen to your kid. They're literally lighting on fire right now. I know it. I should.
At that point, I just crack the bottle of sunscreen open and start dumping it on the kid's head. It's like, you happy now?
Dude, my kids are so white. I wish I just had, like, a hunter's bucket full of sunscreen that I could just dip them in before we went outside.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is... Applying sunscreen to kids is the worst.
It's a little... Yeah.
It's like...
Well, I know, and we can't even use the spray stuff anymore, because, what, I don't know, it was really bad in... causing cancer or something.
I don't know. So there's something about the environment and cancer, and I don't know.
Yeah, they told us, like, we at daycare, they're like, oh, we need your kids to have sunscreen, like, send it with. So we sent the spray can. They're like, oh, we can't use this. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
It's so much easier.
Is it really because of the environment? Because if it is, screw that. Because I'm protecting my kid from the environment trying to kill them. Why can't I hurt the environment in the process?
I think what the regulatory committees here are trying to say is, okay, so either your kid can get skin cancer or lung cancer, whichever one. I don't know. Now, I think it's actually something, there's some kind of daycare system law. Like, if they follow the, what's that, the stars or whatever?
Yeah, I don't remember what
that. There's a rating thing that you can, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You can open up your place to. I think there's some sort of rule about using aerosol cans. So it's not so much that it's about what's in it. It's just the aerosol can itself, you know.
I don't know.
Well, you know, I will toot my own horn. My kids have never had a sunburn, except in, like, the one, like, quarter inch of spot that I miss when I'm putting the sunscreen on.
There's
like,
always that Achilles heel. Really awkward
sunburns. It looks like, you know, God used a magnifying glass to burn the one part of their arm that Dad doesn't like.
Oh, man.
Yeah. They are... Yeah, we were in Jamaica for my sister-in-law's wedding recently. We brought the kids, and... My older one, we kept reapplying, and then, like, right on her cheeks, got it. Like, her cheeks are, like, bright red. I was like, oh, shit. Like, then she starts crying, and I'm like, damn it! Like, we have to look like the worst parents at the resort. Granted, we were probably, like, one of, like, 10 parents at the resort.
Right, yeah.
But...
Yeah, see, nobody notices my kids, because they see the secret message that I've written on my wife's back when she has me put her sunscreen on.
John was
it's
here.
It's always like, yeah. It just says like poop or something. Because I'm 10 years old.
Nice.
I've never done that, and now I really want to, but I'm pretty sure we're done vacationing for the summer, and where right. I'm going to lose the chance to do that. Although I could do it to my kids.
No.
No?
You can do it to your wife. Right? She wouldn't even know, right? No, I was going to tell her she has poop.
So, go check out John and all of his stuff over at askyourdadblog.com. Yes. And where can they find you on the social medias?
Ooh, so Twitter is askdadblog, because someone took Ask Your Dad on Twitter. if you're the person who has Ask Your Dad, let me know. I'll give you $50 for it.
Right.
On Facebook, it's / askyourdadblog. On Instagram, it's Ask Your Dad. That's enough. Or just go to the blog and I have icons there.
Right. And you can find us on Facebook, /Papa Bottles Dadcast, on Twitter, @PBDadcast, and the Instagrams.
Yes.
Same thing.
Yes.
And thanks so much for talking to us, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. Good time, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, excellent.
So that'll do it for this week.
Yeah.
Till next week. Peace out.
Yeah. Check out the Pop Life. Don't forget, poplife.com.
Yes.
All right, have a good one.